Finance come to order. It's 1:49 p.m. on March 20-something, 21st, 2014. We have members present, Representative Munoz, Representative Holmes, Representative Guerra, Representative Costello, Stoltz, Co-Chair Osterman, Representative T. Wilson, Representative Edgeman, Representative Thompson, and Vice Chair Newman. We have a quorum to do business. We have two measures before us today. We have the fiscal notes on House Bill 306 and disposition of that bill, and House Bill 140. We'll see where we go. It's our hope to try to move it out. That we will resume where we left off on the fiscal notes updated. We have missed, and we make sure Mr. Fonder is engaged because we will engage him on the larger fiscal note recently updated. I do appreciate the members slowing this down. It's much better process, and it really has no bearing on when it gets to the next step right now. Even if it did, I appreciate you tempering the rush. Thank you. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 306 has several fiscal notes, seven, which I will go over. OMB component number 637 is from the Department of Environmental Conservation from the water appropriation. It shows it's dated February 28, 2014 at the bottom of the page, and it shows no fiscal impact. OMB component number 354 from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development from the Insurance Operations Appropriation, dated March 21, 2014. Shows no fiscal impact. OMB component number 2879, this fiscal note is also from Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development from the Community and Regional Affairs Appropriation, dated today, March 21st, 2014, showing no fiscal impact. Fiscal note, OMB component number 2686, from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development from the Alaska Vocational Technical Center appropriation, dated today, March 21st, 2014, shows no fiscal impact. OMB component number 3002, this fiscal note is from the Department of Natural Resources, Land and Water Resources appropriation, dated today, March 21st, 2014, showing no fiscal impact. OMB component number 774, this one's from the Alaska Legislature, the Budget and Audit Committee appropriation. This fiscal note shows an impact of $25,000 in 2015 fiscal year 2016, zero. For 2017, $25,000. For 2018, zero. 2019, $25,000. And in 2020, zero. And the final fiscal note, Mr. Co-Chair, is from the Department of Revenue, the 2476 OMB component number. This is the taxation and treasury appropriation, dated today, March 21st, 2014. This updated fiscal note shows an impact for fiscal year 15 of $400,000. In fiscal year 16, $280,200. In fiscal year 14, fiscal year 17, $280,200. In fiscal year 18, $125,300. And that amount for also fiscal year 19 and 20.
I'd like to get Mr. Fonder from Treasury on the record as well. Mr. Fonder?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
You're here. Please provide, why don't you give us a little commentary on the adjusted fiscal note?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Matt Fonder, and I am the director of the Tax Division for the Alaska Department of Revenue. And the larger numbers on the front end of the fiscal note are basically to allow us to get the right staff in the house to start work on this report. And the very first report would be the most difficult one to compile and the most comprehensive, as it is a five-year look back. But then going forward, we would be able to utilize the information that we've already obtained and just kind of carry some of that information forward things like legislative intent and public purpose, you know, initially figuring that out would be a heavy lift, but once we have it figured out, then we don't have to do that going forward. So that's why in the out years we're just looking at one full-time employee to help us with this this new report that would be required of us. If you look in the fiscal note, we're looking at two economists, three positions, a tax technician, and a college intern for the first year, and then we would taper off from that in the out years.
Did you have a question? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Fonder, this first year, I assume that it's going to give you a chance to set up a methodology as to how to compile this, and that would be another reason for the increase in that first year.
To the Chair, Representative Thompson, that's absolutely correct. I mean, as you know, the language of the bill requires us to analyze indirect expenditures, not only that the Department of Revenue sees, but that every department in state government sees. So we would definitely need to set up a process and a methodology to reach out to each of the state agencies to obtain the necessary information for us to compile this report.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. We had a previous motion on the floor, but we'll go ahead and restate it just for clarity too.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move CS for House Bill number 306, Finance 28-LS1396/H with from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objection.
Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I try not to object or call for a vote on too many bills, and the sponsor and I have had a discussion, but the it's my view that we readopted a new rewritten film tax credit program just a little bit over a year ago, and the elimination of it in 2016, or the sunset of it in 2016 under this bill, I just don't think is the right way to go. I don't need to argue, and I'm not going to argue why I think the film tax credit program works. We've had that argument already in this committee. And then there's a veterans employment tax credit that also disappears in 2016. I just don't think the – I understand – I like a lot of the bill. I like the parts of the bill that require a report to let us know whether these things are working. I think some tax credit should be taken off the books, a lot of the ones that are in here. I understand that, but especially the film tax credit that we've already debated and rewritten just so recently, I don't think should come off the books so quickly. Thanks.
And thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As far as the film tax, I like the film tax, but It was changed in the last report we had earlier this year. Couldn't even utilize the information that we had gathered, or there was no information together yet. And this will give us an opportunity to look at what it's doing with the changes that are in. It also extended it out for 10 years. There is not enough money in there to have it last 10 years. I think we need to take a real hard look at it. Is it accomplishing what it's supposed to? And I think it'll probably show it does. But I think that it's our responsibility to make sure that we're doing that. This new legislation that we're now under with the film tax is accomplishing what it's supposed to. The same with the veterans. I think that anything that we're reviewing, if it's worthy, it should be renewed. I think this gives us the opportunity to go back and look at the analysis and make sure that maybe we want to even make it better. Who knows? But this is, I think, the process that it's our responsibility to go back and review and take a look at these things. Thank you.
Thank you. Is the objection maintained?
Yeah, it is.
Roll call.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Costello.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
No.
Representative Holmes.
Yes.
Representative Munoz.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Osterman.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz.
Yes.
9 yea, 1 nay.
So the bill is moved out of committee. Thank you, everybody, for the work on this and the watchful eyes. That will take just a couple seconds, Addies. Don't anybody leave. House Finance, come back to order after a very brief at ease. We have before us House Bill 140. I believe we have a new committee substitute. Mm. Representative Costello, 140. I don't believe we've adopted this previously, have we?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move to adopt as a working draft before the committee CS for House Bill number 140, Finance, version I.
I'll object for I believe your my staff will present the bulk of it, and one of the members of Representative Costello's staff, who has authorship, ownership, assistance, and another provision. Team, come on, you go and join. Why don't you just get positioned, and we'll get them out of your way so you can be a solo here again.
I love it. This is awesome.
Mr. George, Mr. Ginchard. Why don't you start, Mr. George?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Daniel George, and I serve as staff to Representative Stoltz and the House Finance Committee. Before members is work draft for CS for House Bill 140 Finance, version I. This replaces version O, which came to the Finance Committee. I will briefly go through and highlight the changes and the locations within the bill. Beginning on page one, sponsors Costello, Newman, Tammy Wilson, and Olson have been added. Section 2 is a new section within the bill. This removes the exemption for boards and commissions in submitting a copy of regulations or orders for appeal when they're to be adopted, when they're submitted to the governor for review. This removes the exemption of boards and commissions. continuing on. Sections are renumbered throughout. Going to page 3, section 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 are new, and section 12, the applicability, has been amended to reflect such. Briefly, section 5 on page 3, the word assure has been changed to ensure, grammatical correction. Additionally, a copy of the proposed amendments or regulations, whenever feasible, not prohibited by copyright, or if they're incorporated by reference, will need to be posted on the Alaska Online Public Notice System for the public. Section 6, again, removes the RCA, the Board of Fisheries, and the Board of Game from the exemption in statute in providing posting. Section 7 is a section that deals with contact with the public. Sections 7 and 8 were previously talked about in committee, and this is the committee returning with language that would address the concerns about public members contacting agencies about regulations that are in the process, and just clarifying what the intent and the meaning of those proposed regulations is. Section 7 and 8. Section 9, this is the distribution list for regulations. It just adds the members of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee to the list in statute that are required to receive these notices. Section 10 is amended. It clarifies chair rather than chairman. And it talks about, at the same time the regulation, and currently if a regulation is filed by the Lieutenant Governor, then they submit it to the chair. This specifies that at the time that the regulation is submitted to the Lieutenant Governor for filing under the current statute, this allows the chair of the Admin Review Committee to, and then I continue into Section 11, have a 7-day period of being able to submit a comment to the Lieutenant Governor. And that is the extent of the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Charles Ginshard, staff to Representative Costello. The one section that I helped draft on behalf of Representative Costello to this is Section 7. Mr. George briefly went over the changes included in that section. To just add a little bit more detail to that, it's a two-paragraph section. Paragraph A, this occurs on page 3, beginning on line 25. Paragraph A specifies that when a department is still in the process of drafting, which what will eventually be proposed regulation, that the agency may contact stakeholders, or excuse me, may contact persons, and the agency may answer questions from persons. It is a may. In this same section, on page 4, beginning on line 1, paragraph B of this section, this refers to once regulations have been proposed. This says that an agency, once a regulation is proposed, may contact a person regarding those regulations and shall answer a question regarding those regulations from a person.
And this is different than the usual permissive. This is now... this is actually removing impediment where they felt they weren't allowed to. Is that the intent?
As far as I understand, yes, Mr. Chairman.
I love the grasp of ownership there. Anyway, I think it's pretty clear that Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is clear, and I like the idea, and I think it's very responsive to the conversation we had the other day. My only red flags going off in the back of my head are to make sure we're not opening ourselves up to challenges or lawsuits based on some sort of ex-party communication. I just want to make sure that we're there. I'm thinking maybe Mr. Ginshard can talk to us a little bit about it, what went into describing this and who he talked to be sure we're not creating any problems. I do like the public accessibility part of it.
Representative Holmes, through the chair, I would also point out one change that was made that occurs in Section 8 of this bill, page 4, line 10. When discussing this amendment with legislative legal counsel, it was pointed out that Its existing statute only referred to comment in writing, and a change was included here to update that, basically to clarify that agencies receive comment in writing, they receive it electronically as well as orally. So that specification was made. So that is one place that may clarify that. Also, I'm not able to, off the top of my head, reference the exact point in statute, so I would refer to someone from the Department of Law for that. But there is language that says relevant to regulation being drafted. So the implementation of this could be very broad. Departments would have to consult with the Department of Law on a case-by-case basis as to how best implement this and what course of action would be best. But it's my understanding that as written, this does leave it rather broad and would require a back and forth between any agency and the Department of Law on how best to proceed.
I think I had objected. I'll remove my objection. I don't see any other questions. The committee substitute is adopted. Thank you, gentlemen. Now on to the committee. On to your presentation, philosophy, intent, and flowing into your proposed amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Laura Reinbold. I represent beautiful Eagle River. And I really do want to thank the Finance Committee members for your diligent work and your overtime. I know
that,
you guys.
South Shugiak?
Or maybe your North Eagle River.
Okay, go ahead.
I better be careful. Okay. I don't want to get between you guys and sunny Friday afternoon, but I really do want to say that I do consider it a privilege to sit before you right now, and I do thank you for your input, all of you that have helped mold and make this a better piece of legislation, so I'm very appreciative of that. I also feel like it's really important for me to thank my staff. Former was Jim Pound. He worked for me during the interim, and he had a lot of input on this legislation over the past year. Crystal Keeneman and Krista have been just a real strong hand behind this, and I want to make sure I pointed them out. To refresh your memory, House Bill 140 was brought to me by small business and restaurants in my area who were concerned about overregulation. And then, as I said last week, as chair of Regulatory Review Committee, I understand there are a lot of regulations. It is just unimaginable how many there are on the books right now. And so I think it's really prudent to have a really good process and a very open process, excuse me, for regulations. So even as a legislator, it's been really challenging for me to keep up with the regulations, let alone if I had to run a small business. So I think that this is very, very important. And I'm honored that many of you decided to co-sponsor this piece of legislation, so I am very, very thankful. Basically, what this piece of legislation will do is it will increase transparency, and it'll also allow, you know, for the public, with the online public notification, and it also allows our branch, the legislative branch, to work better with the executive branch in order to have another set of eyes looking at regulation. So with that, I'm gonna be here to answer questions. These two did a fabulous job going through the sectionals, and I have them all. I don't want to go and go it over again because they did an excellent job, but I am willing to go over any section that you guys
Why don't we actually just probably more appropriately discuss the amendments? That your office has prepared amendment. Representative Costello and I have agreed to sponsor the amendment number one. And
okay.
Why don't Representative Costello? Why don't you move it so it would be more appropriate to discuss it?
I move amendment number one.
And I'll object. And you and others can, because it's not. Were you involved in this one, Representative Costello?
It's not as intimately as okay. The sponsor.
Okay.
Okay.
And please, if you need the lifelines, feel free to call them. Don't hesitate.
Thank you. I am very appreciative of that. First of all, page 2, line 4, following section. This was actually input from the Senate side. They wanted it to be put with it.
We don't discuss what they prefer to have in our bills. They have their side after we pass it. But you probably got a random suggestion, I bet.
Okay. It was a random suggestion.
Thank you.
Okay. I stand corrected. It was the reason I considered this was that we didn't want regulations to be gone on and on and on. So basically just inserted within 30 days. So to put a time limit so that these boards or departments who are trying to put a regulation in it just didn't get extended too long.
If we don't extend it, I bet you somebody might think of it later. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, the next is page 2, line 31, following inaccuracy. This was a suggestion from the Department of Law as the hearing from last week to put also inefficiency. This is just to decrease our exposure as a state. And we also, following of the, we inserted good faith. So the good faith effort, if it was insufficient, then we could not, no legal case could be brought against us. Next, page 4, line 30. This was a very good recommendation from the other co-chair of this group. Wanted to make sure that we had enough time to look at this as a regulatory committee, so we just upped it just a few days there. So we just changed it from 7 to 10 days. And that is the extent.
That's the extent. Are there any questions on this amendment? I'll remove my objection. Is there any other objection maintained? Amendment number 1 is adopted without objection. Any other amendments?
I move amendment number 2, Mr. Chair.
I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you go to page 2, line 28, that's where this would be inserted. And I'd like to make it conceptual just in case renumbering has to occur by ledge legal, if that's okay.
We will list that as such for purposes of fitting this in if it becomes an issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We often get these notices of regulation. We get them by email in this building. I don't know how much of the public agencies send it by email too. I hope a lot. But what the notice of regulation change usually says is notice of regulation change. When I send an email, I tell people what the email is, or else I know people aren't going to open it. I never say this is an email. But that's essentially what the state does.
That's where all the provocative stuff comes from. It's all just to catch attention. And here we're feeling self-conscious about that.
So the amendment says that when they do it by email, they should, to the extent feasible, let people know what the subject matter is of the regulation change. If they do it in writing, the title should let people know, to the extent feasible, what the subject matter is of the regulation change.
You want to be feasible. How come you wrote possible in your amendment?
Because possible means feasible.
Well, we use feasible throughout the change statute. So
I would be happy with feasible, actually. Mr. Chair, I actually thought it was feasible when I drafted it. Anyway, that's what it does, so people have an idea what the regulation is, so they don't just get a bunch of numbers. I once had one of my own bills changed. I had no idea because it was notice of regulation changed by the Department of Health and Human Services, so I didn't open it up. I didn't know it was my bill. But people should have an idea of what's happening. So that's the purpose. And I would move an amendment to the amendment, Mr. Chair, to replace the word possible on line 3 with the word feasible.
Hearing no objection to that, fairly simple amendment. The clerk have the change. And feasible, is that, and for the PH, is that two S's? So that's adopted, the amendment to amendment number 2. Representative Reinbold.
Mr. Chairman, I do consider this a friendly amendment, and is that what you want?
Oh, he's one of your regular co-sponsors. I figured it was all right. So I'll remove my objection. Is objection maintained by anybody else? Hearing none, amendment number 2, as amended, is adopted. Representative, are there any other amendments Fiscal notes. I don't know if we've caught up with these or not. I don't want to catch ourselves. I don't have mine unless it's over here. Okay. And I don't believe the changes we made in here would have impact on any fiscal impact on the departments. Representative Costello.
Mr. Kocher, there's one fiscal note for CS for House Bill 140 dated March 10th, 2014, and the departments affected are various departments, and the cost is indeterminate.
We don't know the fiscal impact is how much this is going to benefit business. That's unstated, which you'll do in your newsletter.
Mr. Chair, just on the fiscal note.
Representative Guerra.
I just, unless I'm missing something, the indeterminate, I don't see where it would cost anything, but I'm happy to.
Representative Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you don't mind, I would like to address this. And this summer, August 26, 2013, Governor Sean Parnell put Administrative Order number 266 out. And it's a very good administrative order, in my opinion. And basically what it says is to minimize the cost, time, and burden to affected public and complying with state regulations and encouraging state agencies to work with all stakeholders to meet the objective of Alaska statutes. And it says to ensure the state regulations are consistent with the statute and limited to carrying out their statutory purpose. Basically, he says to take into account the costs imposed to individual Alaskans and doing business in the states, particularly small businesses, and allow state agencies to facilitate implementation with the most reasonable and cost-effective manner. On the second page of the administrative order, it says verify cost of implementation to the state agency and the affected public to ensure that the least costly alternatives are considered or enabled consistent with legal requirement. So we believe that they are already doing the intent of this legislation. So we believe that they already are absorbing any, if there are any costs, they're already being absorbed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to respectfully disagree. They are not letting our boroughs and our citizens how much it costs when they do the regulations, and this will cause them to do that. And we do fiscal notes right now. Fiscal notes are only based on state impact. And what I like, and one reason I signed on to this legislation, is because now they will have to do a cost estimate to how these affect our local districts and boroughs and schools with whatever we do. And I think that'll have a, hopefully it will have a better emphasis on what we do. But that's the indeterminate part, is they are not writing those reports right now. And we should have been doing this a long time ago, because we talk about unfunded mandates all the time from the federal government. We don't have anything to be very proud of either on that side. So. You know, we had a bill similar to this, and we got a lot of grief over taking the money and then expecting to know where it was. So this is a great first step. I took too big of a bite of the apple, and this is a smaller amount to help us get there. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Newman?
Not on that point, but I have a question.
You know, what's go ahead.
Can I address that point first?
We can have a roundtable on this issue, but I don't. You know, I think you've got a lot of support here. I think everybody's agreeing with you.
Okay.
But you're welcome to talk if you need to.
Okay. I just wanted to read a little section of the administrative order, but I will yield if, as
we're on a roll here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Representative Newman.
Not on the fiscal note, but on the bill. On page 3, when it, section 6, it says a state agency, and it was removed other than Board of Fisheries and Board of Game. I suspect I know the answer, but I would like to ask the sponsor why those boards are removed when there's frequently a lot of discussions around what those boards do.
Why
were those boards removed?
They're included. I want to make sure I understand your question. Do you mind coming up to that? If you don't mind, I'm going to call for a lifeline, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Thank you, members of the committee. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Crystal Kieneman, staff to Representative Reinbold. Representative Newman, through the chair, if I understand your question accurately, Right now, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, the Board of Fisheries, and the Board of Game are currently exempted from providing a brief description when they send out their public notice. What this language, by removing them from this, they would then be required to provide a brief description in their notice, along with every other state agency and board and commission.
Thank you.
Glad we got that on the record, actually. Representative Guerra?
Chair, I think I would move to make this a zero fiscal note, and for two reasons. Number one, an indeterminate fiscal note, if they actually needed any money, which I'm not sure that I see, isn't going to get them any money in the budget at the end of the year when we add up the fiscal notes, so they're still going to get zero anyway, and they're going to have to come back to us next year and say this cost us $25,000, if it does. And B, I would have to assume that they are doing this now. I hope they're not adopting regulations without considering the impact on the public of the regulations. So it seems to me like this should be a zero fiscal note.
I'll defer to my co-chair. What, do you have an opinion, sir? I don't either. It doesn't matter. It's really more of a statement issue. I don't have an objection. Representative Edgman?
Well, I've had the dutiful pleasure of actually doing regulations at a department before. On one hand, you could argue it's negligible, but on the other hand, there will be a little extra cost somewhere along the line. So, you know.
I think I'm going to object to it. Let's leave it in there. And the department, I think, has tried to work with them on this, and if they need that little bit of a flex statement that so they don't come. We have asked them to do things, and we're holding them to trying to keep it to zero. But I'm going to object to that. And I think that we're going to, you've made it as a motion.
I'll withdraw my motion to zero out the fiscal note, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representative Newman, would you like to move the bill?
Yeah.
Mr. Contreras. Oh, Representative Costello.
Thank you. I just want to thank the sponsor and all of the members of the committee who worked on this. I think that what this bill is about is communicating. And I find it interesting that we have to put into statute a requirement that the agencies communicate in an effective and efficient way. Just today I received an email that said, hey, we passed a regulation. I opened it up. That said the same thing. We passed a regulation. And then I opened up the attachment and I read the regulation. And I just feel that in today's day and age where the public and every stakeholder is very interested in knowing what the agencies are doing, that this bill is right on target. I think that it should have no fiscal impact because I think that Alaskans should expect their agencies to communicate in an effective and efficient manner, and so I hope the agencies look favorably upon this. Thank you.
We don't hope, we expect them to. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move committee substitute for House Bill number 140, Finance Version /I, as amended, with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations from committee.
Hearing no objection, 140 is out of committee. Thank you, Representative Reinbold.
Thank you very much.
Our session is going to be Reinbold sessions from here on out. We've had Reinbold Guerra. I'm sorry.
I'm losing my stroke. Everybody else is piling on her.
So we are done for this week. We are not going to meet tonight, and we will see everybody. I believe we're going to start on. On Monday morning, just to let everybody know, our main focus is going to be House Bill 278 next week. Only for purposes of noticing have I included this whole slug of bills on there, and we will continue to restate our calendar to the clerk's office to the best we can to keep up with this so that the public knows when these bills are coming up. I certainly don't have an interest in having folks come out and waiting on bills, but just for peer management purposes, we had to schedule these bills in order to seek to address them. And many of these will likely be dealt with in evening sessions, but it is our intent, and we will make the best efforts to get these all readjusted in notices throughout the week as we define our schedule. But the focus of this next week is House Bill 278, the omnibus education bill. So I guess rest up, because we're going to three a days, and hopefully won't have to meet every night. But it's our intent to have the flexibility so that we can tackle this and put the time in it that's expected of us. So thank you, everybody, for this week's work, and next week ought to be more challenging. So with that, we're adjourned.